Save WICC 600 in your presets, and you'll never miss anything Lisa has to say. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
Our next guest, Maria Pereira, is no stranger to controversy, and she's no stranger to putting herself in the middle of taut and fraught controversial politics when she feels that the system is wrong and that the people within the system are acting wrongly. She joins us right now. Maria Pereira, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me on this morning.
Maria, can you tell us right now what positions you hold?
I'm currently one of 20 city council members, and I'm one of two that represent the 138 district of Bridgeport. We have 10 districts. Prior to that, I served on the school board.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going. Yep.
Prior to that, I served on the school board. I was on the school board during the illegal takeover and was one of the plaintiffs that took it all the way to the Connecticut Supreme Court, where that illegal takeover was overturned by the Connecticut Supreme Court. And then I didn't run, and then I was so disappointed what I was seeing, I ran again in 2015 and served another four-year term.
So let's talk a little bit about this, because I think it's really important for me, because I'm a relative newcomer. I'm only on WICC less than 2 years. I want to understand a little bit of the history of the Bridgeport Board of Education, because this is, to me, at the center of the controversy surrounding the 54-year ending of a public-private partnership, which, it has to be said, was funded largely, if not majority, by private organizations, private corporations within the community, like People's Bank, like Sikorsky Helicopter, countless others that funded this program in cooperation and coordination with the Bridgeport Board of Education. Can you just give us a little bit of a history, Maria Pereira, as to why the Board of Education was dissolved in the first place and then how it came to be reinstituted by the governor and then ultimately upset by the Supreme Court? What's going on with the Bridgeport Board of Education historically?
Well, the illegal takeover occurred a long time ago. It happened, interestingly enough, it started 4th of July weekend when our country celebrates its independence and democracy. And so we got a notice on a Friday before 4th of July in 2011 that there was going to be a meeting the day after 4th of July to vote to abandon the elected school board and have the state take it over. And apparently we found out later through court proceedings that Mayor Bill Finch at the time, along with Governor Malloy, the chairman of the State Board of Education, and a billionaire from Greenwich, Steve Mandel, were all involved in orchestrating that for months behind the scenes with the chair and others who were on the school board. I and my minority member colleagues were not involved and were completely blindsided by it. The vote was 6-3 to dissolve and turn the board over to the state. But myself, my colleague Bobby Simmons, and Sayuta Baraka, we filed a lawsuit. And the Connecticut Supreme Court said, we want to take that. We're going to take it right up here. And they overturned it with only one dissenting vote to support the illegal takeover. So the school board has been mired in a lot of controversy for over a decade at this point.
But what I don't understand, Maria, and you say you were a minority member. Who was the majority-minority split up? What parties?
You'd be surprised. So it was not strictly party-based. So
okay.
I was elected on the Working Families Party line at that first time I served, along with Sayuta Baraka, who is a registered Republican. I was unaffiliated, and we were aligned with Democrat-endorsed member Bobby Simmons. So even though we were a minority faction, it wasn't based on party. It was based on ideology. So it was a Democrat and an unaffiliated and a Republican. And then everybody else were Democrats and Republicans. And quite frankly, the Republican Party in Bridgeport is a subsidiary of the Democratic Party. They are not an opposition party in this city, and they are often lock and step with what we call the Democratic machine in Bridgeport.
So let me understand, when you say Maria Pereira, a minority party made up of varying affiliations but one ideology, how would you have described what glued you together? What was your ideology that glued you together, the three of you?
That all three of us, every decision we made was based on what's in the best interest of our public school children.
And you don't feel that the majority was making decisions in that best interest of the kids?
Oh, no, no. They were all, they were really there to do whatever the bidding of the administration was at the time, which was Bill Finch and, quite frankly, Mario Testa. You know, who's who, whoever they knew to get contracts, consulting gigs, patronage jobs. And I, Sayuta Baraka, and Bobby Simmons stood against that. And, you know, at the time, the Board of Ed budget was, I believe, about $250 million annually. And there are more employees on the Board of Ed side than the city side. So you can't just throw anybody into a certified position, right, like a teacher, a social worker, a guidance counselor. But all those security guards, custodians, janitresses, nutrition center positions, Mario Testa and the mayor at the time and even today use those positions for patronage. It's not about your qualifications. It's not about whether you're the best person in the job. Those jobs are all about who you know.
So let me ask you this, Maria Pereira. In 2018-19, this program, the School Volunteer Association program, reaches somehow some kind of somebody decides it's not worth being funded anymore, even though at that time it's over 50 years old. The Read Aloud Day is one of the highlights of the calendar. I'm told by my friends that are volunteers that have participated for a long time, it's extremely well executed by the people that run the program itself. And the private sector is used to funding a lot of the materials, not just for Read Aloud Day, but for the school tutoring programs and things that go on all year long. In 2018-19, were you on the Board of Education?
I was.
So tell us about what happened that year. Was this even discussed? Did this come up for conversation, or was it something that, you know, bypassed the Board of Ed and was sort of slipped out or slipped in? What happened?
Well, if I can just step a little farther before that, you see whether it was Mayor John Fabrizi or Mayor Finch or Mayor Ganna. Mayor Ganna ran on a platform in 2015 that he was going to fund our public schools. That's how he garnered my support. And his first budget in 2016, the school board needed $16 million just to maintain every single program and staff person it had. That wasn't going to add anything, and it was due to contractual increases. And you should know the majority of Board of Ed contracts are negotiated by the city, because we share members. So the city's negotiating the vast majority of the contracts, and they're agreeing to pay increases and benefit increases, and then the Board of Ed has to fund it out of their budget. So they'll say, okay, we need $16 million. We've got to fund utility cost increases, these contractual increases that the majority of the agreements you negotiated. And the mayor that year, when we needed $16 million, gave us zero, ratified by the city council, zero. For over 20,000 students, with 78% of them at the time being, or 80% of them being Black and Brown children, many of them living in poverty. And so we had to make $16 million in cuts just to balance our budget. And then in January of that budget year, Governor Malloy, the state was in experiencing a serious budget crisis, and our entire state delegation, both senators, all six state reps, voted that the state could take another million from the Board of Education. They were cutting ECS funding across the state, and our entire delegation voted that, yes, we're going to support taking another million. So after we had made devastating cuts that year to get it to balance with $60 million deficit, now we had 6 months to find another $1 million. Now, the mayor has proposed now five budgets since he's been mayor, okay? And in three of those budgets, including the one we're just started today, the mayor has proposed zero for the Bridgeport Public Schools three times out of the last five budgets. So you understand.
Wait. Just pause for a minute. What do you mean propose zero? You mean propose zero increase? What do you mean propose zero?
So if the mayor proposes his budget every year, usually in March, and in three of his five budgets, he has proposed not one additional dollar for between 19 and 21, because our enrollment fluctuates, between 19 and 21,000 children. He has proposed not one additional dollar in three of his five budgets since being reelected in 2015.
And so
that
is...
To put that in perspective...
Yeah.
Well, to put in perspective, Hartford spends over $20,000 per pupil. New Haven over $19,000. Bridgeport just broke a little bit over $15,000. If we just received exactly the per pupil expenditure that Hartford receives... Remember, we're all similar. We're all large urban cities. Bridgeport on day one would receive an additional $100 million per year. So that should show you how severely underfunded the Bridgeport Public Schools is. And we have 169 towns in Connecticut. No municipality, no mayor contributes less on a percentage basis to their public school system than Mayor Ganim and the city of Bridgeport.
We're chatting with Maria Pereira. This is Lisa Wexler, if you're listening. She's a city councilwoman who has experience on the Board of Ed. I do want to also state, Maria, that Connecticut in general is ranked number three in the country in spending per money per public school student per state. And on average, and when we average this, we're talking about rural places, urban places, suburban places. On average... The average public school district in Connecticut spends $20,635 per student as of 2020. And you're telling me that in Bridgeport, they spend on average $5,000 a student less?
Yes, slightly over $15,000 is what we spend per pupil.
So more or less $5,000 a student less in Bridgeport on average, when we know that in Bridgeport, we have children vastly more underserved than in other suburban school districts. That's just astonishingly wrong.
30% of our students live in poverty, and we have a huge English language learner population. That's expensive. These children need more one-on-one services. They need special curriculum. They need special materials. So there's a cost factor that comes when you have 21 or 22% of your student population as English language learners. In addition, we have a very high special education population.
Let me ask you, I know that you do. I know, but let me just say this, Maria. One of the reasons that I'm so personally astonished that this school volunteer program has been cut is because we have a spigot that's been wide open, and it started during COVID, and it's still wide open. We have Governor Lamont, who has a fantastic relationship with Joe Biden, and we have our own chair of the Appropriations Committee, Rosa DeLauro, right next door in New Haven. There's millions of dollars that are going to be pouring into this budget right now, into Bridgeport and other places. I don't understand why, given this situation right now, a sustainable funding source can't be found for the school volunteer program.
Well, I want you to know in 2018-19, I voted against the eliminating the funding of the School Volunteer Association. I really fought for it.
So there was a debate on it. There was a debate and there was a vote on it?
It was debated in committee debated in the budget committee many times. When it came to the full council, it was debated again. And I was the only person who voted against defunding it. And you know, the issue is you got to fund what's mandated. So that's what you got to start with, right? What's mandated? Because you can't not fund special ed services. Those are federally mandated and state mandated. Whichever mandated under state statute or federal law, that's not money you can be flexible with, okay? But the issue at hand here is these two positions for Ms. Gribben, the executive director, and Ms. Goodwin cost the Board of Ed about $200,000 a year if you include fringe and their salaries. And I think that this decision is so poor because you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. The amount of volunteer hours and books that come into the district because of the School Volunteer Association, I think the $200,000 is a minimal investment when the Board of Ed's budget, operating budget, is about $267 million a year. That does not include grants. It does not even include the federal grants. So it's about $267 million a year, and the Board of Ed was spending about $200,000 on the School Volunteer Association.
It doesn't make sense, Ms. Pereira. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. But this is why, I mean, we have a really horrific school board. We have somebody who was just indicted by the FBI, along with Senator Dennis Bradley, Jessica Martinez, who also, there was a viral photo of her using a crack pipe, you know, just about a year before this. She's been arrested 5 times for, you know, child endangerment, domestic violence. So you have that. Then you have Chris Taylor, who the SEC ruled when he ran for the school board, didn't even live in Bridgeport, didn't live here for at least 3 years. And then he was arrested for attempted kidnapping and impersonating an officer. He's about to go to trial. Then you have another school board member who was fined $5,000 by the State Elections Enforcement Commission for absentee ballot fraud and was forced to resign her position. She couldn't run for any elected office for 2 years. These are the people that are serving on the school board, making critical, critical decisions that impact the lives of over 19,000 children and their families.
You know, Maria, when I hear that, I say to myself, I laughingly jest often on this show how low the bar is to be a politician. You can pretty much have zero credentials. In fact, not only zero credentials, what you're saying is criminal credentials and at least criminal suspected credentials and still run and still win, which is maybe the essence of freedom and democracy. But come on, the people are not being served well if these are the people that they have to choose from. It's so pathetic.
Can I say, I'd like to say, when Joe Gannon ran in 2015, I supported him, and I consider myself to be critical to his victory. I did it after I met with him, and he really talked about having a second chance. And I had relatives who had made poor decisions. I don't want to say mistakes. It's not a mistake when people make these. You're making poor decisions. A mistake is you get up at 6 a.m., it's pitch black out, and you put on a navy and black sock and leave the house. That's a mistake. A lot of these people made poor decisions. So when he talked to me about a second chance and an opportunity to, make up to the Bridgeport people for what he had done, and that will resonate with a lot of people in Bridgeport, because there's so many people in Bridgeport who either themselves have been in some type of criminal proceeding, or convicted of a crime, or they have an immediate family member. And then he said, you know, that I'm going to fund our public schools. And we were so outraged about what Bill Finch did with Governor Malloy that I think that's why he garnered so much support. I can tell you now, and I've told this to everybody I talked to, it was the worst decision of my life. I should have never supported Joe Gannon, and I will never support any other person who betrayed the public's trust for elected office. You do deserve a second chance, but you should go work in construction. You should go work in another industry. You don't get to be an elected official, governing others and having access to huge sums of money and municipal employees. The vast majority of our municipal employees are quite dedicated, hardworking people. So,
Maria, let me ask you this.
It was a bad decision on my part.
Okay. Let me ask you this. We're chatting with Maria Pereira, who's a city councilwoman right now. What would be the mechanism? You know the system better than I. What would be the mechanism to reverse this decision right now, to reinstate this school volunteer public-private partnership?
Well, the school board would just have to vote to reinstate it.
Right.
Yeah, just to reinstate it and allocate.
Just to reinstate it.
And allocate funding for it. Now, I even thought, okay, maybe a possibility would be the Board of Ed picks up the two salaries and the fringe is done through private fundraising. That's a reasonable compromise. The Board of Ed pays the salary and then the board through private.
But it's pennies. It's pennies. It's not about that. There's something else going on. There's something else going on, Maria. It doesn't add up. It doesn't pass my nose. It doesn't pass my smell test.
Well, you know, we have a superintendent who shouldn't have the job he has. Mike Testani is completely unqualified to run the Bridgeport Public Schools. He is a guidance counselor slash social worker. He never taught one day in a classroom in his life. He had never even been a principal. He had never been an assistant superintendent, but he went on to become the superintendent of often what's the first or second largest school district of the state based on student population. He didn't get his job because of what he knows. He didn't even have the required 092 certification to become the acting superintendent. He got his job because former Mayor Fabrizi and he are very close friends. And Mayor Fabrizi, along with Democratic Town Chairman Mario Testo, lined up the votes for him. I did not vote for Mike Testani. I think he's definitely not somebody who's qualified to lead a school district of this size. And there was highly qualified candidates. We had Dr. Bryce, who's worked for 3 of the 10 largest school districts in the country with over 100,000 students each. He had been at the assistant superintendent level. He was an assistant deputy secretary of education under Obama and was instrumental in launching the Brothers Keepers program. He had his leadership degree from Yale Law School or Harvard. I'm sorry, I'm not sure. It was one of those two Ivy Leagues. So here you have somebody who's so overwhelmingly qualified, but somebody who's never taught a day in a classroom, had never even been a principal, had never been and doesn't even have the certification requirements, gets the job. So that's the terrible thing about Bridgeport. It's not about what you know. It's about who you know, which is something that I am vehemently opposed to.
Maria, are you going to run for mayor?
Oh, no. Well, I do. I'm going to tell you, I have a lot of people who ask me that question. I'm running for city council. I'm up for reelection this year. That's where my focus is. The mayor's race is not even till 2023.
What are we in, 2021? Okay, so another 2 years. Okay. It's a four-year term.
It's a four-year term. Actually, it used to be a two-year term, and Mayor Ganim, during his first stint as mayor, changed the city charter to move it from 2 years to 4 years.
Okay. Well, Maria Pereira, I hope that you're going to come back on the Lisa Wexler Show because you're certainly an illuminating guest. And I think you give us a lot of the history and you're not shy about expressing your opinions, which is, I think, something that a lot of people are afraid to do. And I admire you for expressing your opinions the way that you do.
Thank you. You know, I'm born and raised in Bridgeport. I'm a public school graduate. My daughter's a public school graduate. My 5 siblings are public school graduates. I really believe in public education. I feel it's the best way to lift somebody out of poverty and to transform someone's life and their future destiny.
Yeah, I'm a public school. I'm a public school grad myself out of Long Island District.
Yeah, I'm really passionate about great public schools. And if I could close just by saying, we're not going to transform Bridgeport with casinos or amphitheaters. We'll transform Bridgeport when we have a great public education system.
100%.
That's how we'll transform it.
And I think that we can't let this program go, and I'm not going to give up on it. So there you are. No. So
well,
I guess
we have 5 school board. I just want to say we have 5 school board seats up this year. That's the majority. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think it's very important that people ensure no incumbent on the school board should be reelected. None of them. They're all horrific. And that's my honest view as somebody who has in-depth knowledge about all of them in the school board. So we have a chance here to take 5 seats and transform the school board. So I hope everybody's listening and that you really consider that.
Yeah, to run for the school board and then reinstate the program.
Run, and more importantly, don't vote for a single incumbent. Don't vote for a single incumbent.
So that means people have to be educated about who the incumbent is because our ballots no longer have the parentheses I on them. So you really have to get educated. You have to know who you're voting
for. Well, I will tell you, we do a great job of that in my district. I feel my job is to educate people. I can't tell them how to do it, what to do. But when people have come to trust me in my district, and they'll just often say to me, Maria, who are you voting for? And they'll say, okay, well, if you're voting for them, I am. And that's really because I've earned their trust. So we do have to do a better job of educating people.
Maria, what party do you run on? Are you running on this year?
Well, I am a registered Democrat. I have voted in my lifetime. I have voted for Republicans. I have voted for unaffiliated independents, and I have voted for Democrats. I really vote for who I think is the best person.
No, I understand that. But so do you run? So do you run as an endorsed Democrat in November? Is that how you run? Like,
oh,
how will
no.
people see
well,
you on the
all,
ballot?
I have never saw the Democratic Party's endorsement in Bridgeport because I think the Democratic Party here is so unethical and corrupt. I don't think I need to go to the party and 90 people decide what's best for me or for the city. I go around the party. I go directly to the voters and I petition onto the ballot as a Democrat.
Thank you. Okay.
And
I
win.
Thank you very much, Maria. And that's how people can get on the ballot if they want to run for Board of Ed as well. That's what you're saying.
You don't need a Democratic apparatus. I tell people all the time, you can beat the Democratic machine, but you've got to work. You can't think I'm going to slap my name up on the ballot and I'm going to win. You've got to get out. You've got to go door to door. You've got to talk to voters and educate them and, cultivate relationships. So I have never ever sought the Democratic endorsement in my 12 years involved in politics. I have never supported an endorsed Democratic candidate. Even Joe Ganim in 2015 was not the endorsed Democrat. He petitioned onto the ballot. So in all the 22 elections that I've actively been involved in, I or my candidate has won 19 out of 22 times, and they were not endorsed Democrats.
Thank you so much for this window, this insight into Bridgeport politics. I think that there could be an entire classroom discussion, like an entire curriculum on here's politics and here's Bridgeport politics. So I thank you for the education today, Maria. Thank you.
I wish
thank
I could say so that much. It wasn't, but it's so bad here. But thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, you'll come on again, I hope. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show. Stay tuned.